seem warm in here? Or maybe it's just me. Another question. Am I being deceived? Or does it seem as though people are migrating from that side to over there? Could be. And that throws my preaching off, so my preaching becomes unbalanced. Well, good evening. It's good to see everyone here this evening. Hope you have a nice day and got some rest and enjoyed the afternoon. You know, sin in this world it's a problem. Ever since sin came into the world, it has caused a whole lot of problems. It's been around for a long, 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 long time. You know, you stop and you think about the results of what sin has done as it has ran rapid in this country and how it's messed up lives. Stop and you think about the divorce rate, how it's going up and up and up and up, even amongst some of God's people. How sin is just messing up the lives of people. How sin is just tearing marriages apart. Stop and you think about sin, how sin is causing a lot of people to lose their lives. Many people are walking around drunk and intoxicated and driving and killing others. And many people are being intoxicated and killing others with guns and things of that nature. When you stop and think about the seriousness of sin, it has caused a whole lot of problems in this country. I was thinking a while back, a person goes out and purchases a house, and then that person has to turn right back around and purchase a security system to protect that house, to keep people from coming in. Why? Because of sin. Sin of stealing, sin of breaking in, taking things that do not belong to them. Many times people wind up repairing things and fixing things that's been torn up by others. Sin. I guess one of my big things that I think a lot about and sends out to me is prisons. In this state, in this country, we're building more and more prisons and filling them up. Now, that's not the solution. The real problem is the problem of sin. You look around, you see there's being more and more children being born outside of marriage. What is sin? And on, you can make a list of things that is caused by sin. But the majority of the people in this country, attitude towards sin is part of the problem. It's part of the problem. The majority of the people in this country, attitude is not that which God displays towards sin. Many times when reading through the Old Testament, you see that God, when referring to some sin, he used the word abomination, displaying his attitude towards sin. The attitude that you and I should have, the attitude that he expected the children of Israel to have towards certain sins, really towards all sins. That was that abomination, to detest it, to hate it. But that doesn't seem to be the case as we look around this world today. In Romans chapter 15, verse number 4, talks about the old law, the things that were written there aforetime for our learning. As we look there into the old law and look back at the history, starting with Genesis working forward, we learn about the history of sin. We learn about how God's people were involved in sin from time to time. And then on the other hand, we looked how God felt about that. That sin was not a laughing matter. When God dealt with his people from the Old Testament times, sin was not to have been taken lightly. Wasn't a joking matter. Wasn't something was played around with. Many times, during the Old Testament times, those who were found guilty of certain sins was punishable by death. Look through the Old Testament, find that working on the Sabbath day, Exodus chapter 31, verse 13 through 14, punishable by death. Being a false witness to something, found guilty of being a false witness, punishable by death. Being a false prophet, prophesying things that was false against God's word, punishable by death. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse Verse number 5. And there was many other sins which, if one was found guilty of being a part of, was punishable by death. One thing that stands out to me in my mind is that during those times, God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. And many times he displayed his anger toward the sins of men. Now, I picked out about 3 sins that was practiced back during the Old Testament times. I took those 3 sins, and we're going to look at how the attitude that was supposed to have been back during that time and compare it to where we're at now. That the change that have taken place over time. We will refer to these sins as deadly sins. The reason why I call these deadly sins is because if found guilty of practicing these sins, just a little slap on the hand, a little pat on the back. No. Found guilty practicing these sins, you're put to death, stoned. God meant for his people to be serious about serving him, to be serious about staying away from sin. In the beginning of the list is adultery. Now, when you think about adultery today, we live in a society where the media plays a great part in promoting it and encouraging it. One can easily turn the television on and see how it's taken so lightly and promoted. One can easily listen to certain songs on the radio or however you may listen to your music and find in those songs the very simple message of it's okay to be involved with someone else while you're married. It's okay to participate in adultery. One can easily find that by reading the magazines or even watching a movie that there it is, promoting and encouraging adultery. Some have gone to counselors, doctors, for counseling pertaining to their relationship. And some doctors have given the advice to people that are seeking marriage counseling that it's okay, it's good, it's to spice your marriage up by having, quote, a fling on the side, which is nothing more simpler than plain old everyday biblical adultery. I don't know whether you know it or not, that there are organizations in this country, there's an organization right here in this great city of Columbus, which have groups that meet together where they do wife swapping, a husband swapping, or spouse swapping. But they don't call it adultery or adulterous groups. They call it by other names, such as swingers. But in actuality, you know and I know the Bible says that's nothing no more than simple, everyday, degrading adultery. So you see where we're at now? When you go back and you look at how things have changed throughout the time, where that which was to be ashamed of, that which was done in the dark, is now done openly and not really looked down upon. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. As Moses received from God and gave unto God's people the old law, and then verse number 14 of Exodus chapter 20, he says, you shall not commit adultery. That was pretty simple to understand. And we're going to see as we continue that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Does Moses change his mind about God's law? Does he realize, well, hey, time has elapsed. We can change some things about this. We can kind of change, move things around. No, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 18, he says the same thing. You shall not commit adultery. God was serious about his people being faithful as husband and wife. In Leviticus chapter 20, Leviticus chapter 20. We'll start at verse number 10. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, he who commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. A simple commandment we find there in Exodus. Now we move forward and we saw again there in Deuteronomy. Now we found the result of those who would participate in committing adultery. Not only with the man, the adulterer, not only with the woman, the adulteress, but both would be put to death. But now in 2009, he looked upon, hey, nothing wrong with that, just a little fling if everybody agree upon it. Look how we've changed. Look how this country has changed. Look how the morals of this country seem to be going out the back door. One caught participating in that sin of adultery would have been put to death. Now guys get together and talk in secret, kind of laugh about, hey, yeah, you know, that's okay, man. You're the big guy on the block. That which we should have been ashamed of. No longer. But on the Old Testament times, it was a deadly sin. One found guilty have been put to death. While in that same chapter, look at verse 11 going downward. The man who lies with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. If a man lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed perversion. Their blood shall be upon them. Going on, giving some more examples of that sin that was worthy of death. Deadly sin. And Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22 is stated again. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 22. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lieth with the woman and the woman, so shall put away the evil from Israel. Both put to death. Both guilty. For see, during that time, adultery was considered a horrible sin. And God wanted his people to understand that. And he had to, if one committed that sin, they was put to death. Not so today. I don't believe that someone should be put to death today because of that sin. But the point is that the attitude we have today in the world has surely changed. When I talk to people about being married extended time, I've told people at work that I have a friend. I think Richard has been married about 50 years, I think, or more. When I talk to them about that, they look at me like, what? Because the idea of being married, being faithful to the same woman or the same man for 20 and 30 and 40 years, it's not what happens in society anymore. Deadly sin. During the Old Testament times, one took their marriage lightly and was involved in adultery. They were put to death. Now, secondly, when we look at society and see what's going on there, there's something else that's been on the rise for the last, 20 or 30 years, really since 1969, when it really all came to a halt. That's the sin of sodomy. The sin of sodomy. For those who don't know, well, that's what has been referred to as the gay lesbian movement. Sin of sodomy. Doing a little research. You know that in 1969 was a big movement that took place in Greenwich Village in New York City. Prior to that, in the 50s and the 60s, there were laws against practicing sodomy. And the officials and the police officers fought very hard to keep those bars closed, fought against those things. But in 1969, in Greenwich Village, New York City, the Stonewall Inn, a bar owned by the mafia, which has constantly allowed and promoted sodomy. And the police officers and laws of that time tried very hard to shut it down. But in 1969, there was riots there. And from that point on, it was a great stepping stone for them, they would say. Because in 1970, Los Angeles and New York City was the first two places to openly permit a gay parade march down the streets. Where have we gone? Whatever happened to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34? Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to all people. The word reproach they carry with a disgrace. What a disgrace. Instead of people looking down upon it as that which is shameful, that which is disgrace, now we in society where they're a pat on the back. Push forward. Encouraged. And somewhere down the line, now they're trying to equate it with civil rights. I heard one person say that, well, you know, it's just like the civil rights movement of the early 60s. No, it's not. One was pushing that which was right, and this was pushing something that is sinful and wicked. If you remember Genesis chapter 19, there was two cities that existed, Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember when the angels came down and talked to Lot? Now God had made up his mind he's going to destroy the city because of the wickedness that was going on there. And Abraham pleads with God, please don't destroy it. Your Lot is there. So these angels come down and they go to Lot. They go to Lot's house. And when you're reading in Genesis chapter 19, you see that all the men of that town surrounded the house. And they told Lot, we know that those men are in there. Bring them out so we want to have relations with them. And then Lot pleaded to them and said, don't do this wickedness. Lot even made an offer of giving up his daughters unto them. That's not what they wanted. They yell and scream, they want those men that was in there. They surrounded the house and they began to put forces up against the house. But then the angels came and brought Lot back in, struck the people. And they became blind. Then the angels tell Lot that he and his family need to get out and leave because God is going to destroy the city. Lot goes out and he tells his two son-in-laws, about what's going to happen. And the Bible says that they thought Lot was just joking. Before all was said and done, the angels take Lot and his wife and the daughter, they're leaving the city. And then Lot's wife looked back. But if you read the whole chapter, you will see that God destroyed those two cities. Because of that wicked sin of sodomy that was going on there. Look at Leviticus chapter 18. In verse 22, and the chapter there deals with several situations of sexual morality. In chapter 18, verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman is an abomination. Abomination. Pretty simple there. Turn over. Chapter 20. Verse 13. If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. That wasn't a pat on the back. That wasn't, it's okay. It wasn't, you're born this way. It's all right. God understands. It was simple as this. They had been warned. They had been taught. And there was the example there of how he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. That they were not to be involved in that type of relationship. And here he says, anyone found in that relationship, they shall be put to death. Deadly sins are found practicing them. Want to be put to death back during that time. Oh, where are we at now? Where are we at now? In a country where those who at one time our legal system passed and upheld laws against such in the 50s and the 60s, now our legal system or standing, most of them, and encouraging this type of behavior. Whatever happened to taking it serious as God meant for the people back then? Not to be involved in such. In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, here in the New Testament, it says in Romans chapter 1, start at verse number 24. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanging the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Describes a very sad time, doesn't it? Men burning with desire for men. Women burning with desires for women. Sodomy, how shameful. But during the time, Moses, the old law, one found practicing this, would have been put to death. Look where we're at now. Where will we stand? Will we let the pressures of the world convince us that it's okay? The pressures of the world convince us, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. Everybody's just a little bit different. You do your own thing. Will we be convinced from the pressures of the world to go along, or will we take a stand against it and speak out when we get an opportunity to? You know, there might be a day in the near future, I don't know, where we may not be able to, or whether it may be against law, God, against man law, to preach a sermon like this. Will we stop or will we continue? Plan to continue. Deadly sins, adultery, deadly sins, sodomy. Third and last of the deadly sins. Is disrespect towards parents. If you read through the Old Testament, you will see it was considered a deadly sin. Open your Bibles, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21. During the Old Testament times, it was pushed very hard. It was taught by God's people to teach the children to respect the parents. But I see in, from Deuteronomy chapter 21, there would be times when there were kids who just did not respect their parents, wanted to do their own thing. Look here at Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse number 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and whom when they have chastened him, will not heed them. First of all, he's described as a stubborn, as a rebellious child. He won't obey his mother nor his father. Moving on. Then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of the city. And they shall say to the elders of the city, this son of ours, the stubborn and rebellious, he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Pretty tough on the parents, isn't it? They have a kid who disobedient, drunkard, glutton, stubborn. I guess back during my time, he would have been considered hard-headed. I guess you would describe the drunkard and everything as one would probably say, you know, today would say, you know, a party kid. Just don't want to do what's right. Want to do his own thing. He goes on to say in verse 21, then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stone. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. You know, after the parent had tried over and over to teach the kid, after the parent had tried over and over and over, pleading with that child to do what's right, pleading with that child to lose that attitude of stubbornness, to lose that attitude of rebellion, to do what's right, eventually the parent would take that child, the one that they gave birth to, the one they reared up, would take that child down to the elders, and they would take that child, their flesh and blood, and put it outside the city and stone it to death. That must have been hard on the parent. See, think of the example or the fear that were upon the faces and the hearts of those who had been friends with that person that had been stoned. Saw my best friend being stoned to death because of disobedience to his parents. Caused me to maybe think about it. But how I'm going to live my life. What I'm going to be next. This was a sin, a deadly sin. Child was disrespectful, refused to be obedient to their parent. They was taken and stoned to death. Throughout the Bible, there's teachings on disciplining our kids and encouraging them and disciplining them to do things that's right. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24. Proverbs 22, 15. Proverbs 23, 13 through 14. And then when you go into the New Testament, there's Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. There's Romans chapter 1, verse 30, which stands out to me, that in the midst of all the sins of the heathens, you know what's in the midst of it? Disobedient to parents. Now, where are we at now in 2009? Well, at the place now where these so-called doctors with these PhDs are saying, well, you really don't want to discipline your kid because I messed them up for life. Let me tell you something. I got a many spankings and I'm okay. I think I'm going to make it. It's probably why lack of discipline is probably why kids are tearing the schools apart. Probably why we have police officers at every high school. See, back during the Old Testament times, it was taken serious. After trying to get that kid to do right, eventually that kid made that long walk down to the elders. He would not return because of disrespect toward his parents. So when we stop and we look at some sins of the past that's been taken very lightly now, hopefully we will be on the other side, that we'll be those who push that adultery is wrong. There's nothing good about adultery, nothing right about adultery. And we will be the ones that will push that sodomy, there's nothing right about it. It's an abomination in the eye of the Lord. And we will be the ones that will encourage our kids and teach our kids, and if we have the opportunity to teach others, to honor their mother and father and respect mom and dad and do the things that are right. As we close, I'm going to sing probably my favorite song, Oh, Prepare Me, God. This is all we have right now, people, is life. This is it. What we have now is life, and life is what God has given us to prepare for judgment. If we fail to prepare for judgment and fail to be ready on the day of judgment, there will be no second chance. Fifth Sunday, we'll talk about that. There won't be a second chance. Won't be a makeup test. Miss heaven. That's it. All hope is gone. So as a Christian, have you been making proper preparation day in, day out? If somewhere down the line, sin have crept in your life and interfering with the preparation that you make each and every day for living a righteous life, please repent of it so you can move forward and do what's right and have right preparation. Be pleasing unto God. If you're in here and you're not a Christian, it's simple as this. You're not prepared for the day of judgment. But you can. It's not too late. You can change. Stop and think about your condition. If you're willing to believe the word of God, to repent, to confess, and be baptized, having your sins washed away, become a member of the Lord's church, living faithfully, you can. Or you can sit there and be unprepared. And after you do something for so long, you get content with it, and then you kind of forget it, kind of put on the back burner. Next thing you know, the due date is here. Remember some weeks ago I talked about God's due date? Day of judgment? It's coming. It's coming your way. It's coming my way. It's coming for the whole world. And there's nothing we can do to stop it. Listen.